I just noticed that. Did you notice? Well, we're going to talk a little about Star Wars today, not much, but the word Padawan, does that ring a bell? Padawan? Yeah. What's a Padawan?
An apprentice.
Very good. Thanks, Ian. You know, we are on part five of a six-part series about the life of not just the church, but you as part of the church. What is your job? You know, if Scotty hasn't beamed you up yet, you need to get it figured out that God has a purpose for you. If you're not in heaven yet, what is that purpose? And it's called Life on Mission. And really, it's a series about life and death. Literally, we're looking at five key actions that will help you on your mission. And this week, as you saw, the word grow, or if we were to expound on that just a bit, the idea of discipleship or even apprenticeship. So far, those action words that we've been studying, it's almost like a checklist. A checklist. And if you can recall back, if you've been here the last few weeks, if not, I'll review for you. But do you recall some of those one-word summaries? Anyone? Connect? Does that sound familiar? Connect. Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to reach out and connect with my neighbors. Check, right? What about serve? You remember serve? That's right. As a Christian, I am to help serve others. That's what Jesus himself was serving. Check that off, right? We can do that. How about share? That was last week. Well, share, okay. This week, the word is grow. Grow doesn't work into a checklist very well, does it? Let me explain. You know, when the kids were younger, did you ever back them up against a wall and take a yardstick, put it up against their head and make a line? Did you do it just once?
No.
You can't mark growth by just making one mark. It takes time. Growing is not a one-time event. It's ongoing for life. When you're younger, you grow up. As you get older, you grow
out.
Yeah. Growth. What it boils down to is discipleship, and we're going to talk about that. There's a beautiful little five-year-old girl that comes to some of our midweek activities named Angel. I think Angel's a little more curious of me and maybe drawn to me because we both have had our share of physical challenges. For Angel, she's been fighting off a cancerous tumor on her heart. And whenever her blood counts allow, she takes chemotherapy. Let me tell you, though, how quickly our friendship grew. 2 weeks ago, a tub of giant Legos was brought out for playtime, and Angel began stacking them on my tray. She called me her servant. After all, here was the tray, and it looked like a serving tray right here on my lap. So the Legos were getting stacked, and she began referring to each one of these Legos as her children. I was okay with that until she looked at me and proudly exclaimed that I was their father.
Hello, Lego. I'm your father.
I didn't think about that. You had no idea I had so many kids, did you? Because there were about 15 children on my tray, give or take a few. In just a matter of a few minutes, our friendship grew from me being her servant to me being her spouse. Our family grew even more quickly when Angel's little sister, Sophie, got into it. And Sophie began to add about 15 more children to my tray. Unprecedented growth. I guess I was committing Lego polygamy at that point. Oh, role-playing and pretending are so much fun. You see, our 30 or so kids, they didn't want to go to bed. and then they wanted a bedtime snack, and then morning came, and of course our Lego kids also did not want to go to school. Problem. But then the most beautiful thing happened to our large family. In an act of frustration and perhaps jealousy, my wife, Angel, suddenly brushed all the blocks off my tray. You see, the school bus came and took them all away. Angel and I quickly bonded over our now departed Lego family. Oh, if life was only that simple. You know, the kids, they grow up, you grow your family, everybody goes on with life. But let's address this growing up, though, in a spiritual sense of the word. How about growing up in Christ? I heard that three-part messages are a thing of the past because it's too much to remember anymore, three-part sermons. So now you just try to get one point across. But if you'll bear with me, you're a seasoned crowd. You can handle a three-part sermon, right? Here it is. Grow up, grow in, and grow out. Got it? And that last point, grow out, I think probably more appropriately it would be go out. Grow out and go out. But first, grow up. If I were to say, don't take this first point personally, I'd be lying. This first point is introspective. This first point is personal. You are a living organism. A person who isn't growing is dying or dead. You either grow or you die. Even as an adult, you are still growing. Now, bear with me. I'm not going there, all right? Your body, even as an adult, is constantly replacing old cells with new ones at the rate of millions per second. By the time I finish this little sentence, you will have lost 50 million of your cells. And hopefully they've been replaced by about 50 million more cells. If your cells quit growing and multiplying, it means you are dead. Jesus told us, but that's also part of your plan for discipleship. You're either growing or you are dead. In fact, here's the warning. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. It reads, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. What's the meaning of life? Well, according to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you laugh. 42. Is that right? Something about the meaning of life, the secret of life. The answer to everything is 42. I'm not into that. I didn't watch it, didn't listen to it. But I do know that the competition number, if you're a Missouri S&T student and you're in the human-powered vehicle, the number is 42. Solar car team, the number on the car is? There must be some truth to it. 42. The answer to every question is what? 42. Yeah. Actually, according to Scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says, from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would, they should become like his son. So you could say, or maybe you should say, the purpose of life is to become like Jesus Christ. Discipleship. While you're still on earth waiting for not Scotty to beam you up, but for God to take you up and call you up, God wants you to be ready for heaven. He wants you to grow in character. He wants you to grow spiritually. That's what we're looking for today. Discipleship. A guy named Bob George writes, in my opinion, many Christians look at their salvation in Jesus Christ the same way a teenager viewed a wedding that I was performing. With glassy eyes, she exclaimed, I want to get married. Notice she did not say, I want to be married. Merely, I want to get married. In her youthful understanding, Bob wrote, to get married meant to have her day in the sun, to be the center of attention and to wear a beautiful gown. He continues, taking this way of thinking to its logical conclusion, I can easily imagine this girl's wedding. Right after the pronouncement of husband and wife, she expels a huge sigh of relief. She thanks the minister for conducting the ceremony, thanks the guests for coming, and then she turns to her groom, giving his hand a vigorous shake. She expresses her sincere thanks to him for saving her from singleness. Then she's out the side door, into the taxi, and goes home. Her goal has been achieved. She got married. He finished by saying, we have often looked at receiving Christ as the end of something, an escape from judgment, a get out of hell, what fire insurance, rather than for what it was meant to be, the beginning of a new relationship of growing intimacy with a living Lord. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Oh, just a few words about training. Let's take a step and address training. Oh, you remember when kids are really little? One of the first stages that you've got to get them through is training. Oh, I just remember a story. Our little nephew, Tyler, when he was little, he's not little anymore, is he? 23 years old? Not little any longer, but when he was little, he saw his mom go in the restroom. He listened, heard the flush, heard the water run. His mom was washing her hands. And then she came out. And Tyler just exclaims, oh, Mom, Grandma will be so proud of you. Where did he get that? We're going through training. He was going through training at that time. Well, what's so important about reading the Bible? What's so important about prayer? It changes things. There's a transformation that goes on. That is the goal, the transformation of our lives. The goal is to become less of the sinful you and more like Jesus. The Apostle Paul said it so well in Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't let the culture shape you or mold you. Be transformed like Jesus. God sent Jesus here not just for 1 year, not just for two, but he spent a lifetime of 33 years showing us a model for how to live. Remember, a disciple or a student has become like his teacher and Lord. Every Jedi took on a Padawan for his training, right? Padawan, apprentice. Second point we need to talk about is how to grow in. How to grow in. And really, this is the stay connected point. Let me explain this two ways. First, I want to use a scriptural illustration. And second, we'll look at that word community as we grow in. In John 15, verse 5, we're given an illustration by Jesus. It's the vine illustration where it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Are you connected to the vine? Because as you are, you will bear fruit. Now, when God made fruit, he didn't make it that simple on us, did he? You can't just take a big bite of a piece of fruit and not expect to find something there that you could break a tooth on. or something you have to spit out. Because in the middle of every piece of fruit, at least until modern days, where they somehow came up with something called seedless, right? You could bite into something and you had to be aware that there was going to be a seed in there. Because seeds exist to produce plants, to produce fruit, to produce seeds, to produce more plants. That's the way God made it. So what does it mean in this verse to be, to remain in? Jesus uses this vine and branches to illustrate it. For a branch to produce fruit, it had to stay connected to the vine. To be disconnected from the vine meant that it was no longer producing. Jesus says, if you're connected to me, you are part of me, and in unity with me, you will bear much fruit. I'm sorry, bear what amount of fruit? Much fruit. Not a little fruit, not some periodically, much fruit, much reproducing. And it was the tense of the word that caught my attention. Bears fruit indicates continual, ongoing production. Say amen if you're a fruity person this morning. Yeah, you went right into that one, didn't you? You can tell that person next to you, you're fruity. Well, lastly, note that Jesus says, if you remain in me and me in you, you will bear much fruit. If that's true, then the opposite can be true. If your life is not producing much fruit, then you're not in Jesus, and Jesus isn't in you. You ever thought about the gravity of this illustration? It's kind of sobering. If you're not growing others in Jesus as well, then Jesus says you're not in him, and I am not in you. Naturally, a disciple will produce fruit, just like the master. Talk about community in this point as well. Community, getting beyond ourselves. We encourage each other's growth. You and I can encourage each other's growth. Let me share a few verses with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage each other and build each other up. Love it. There's these two old guys that were pushing their carts around Walmart. Do men push carts around Walmart? Okay. A few of them do. Well, anyway, they were pushing their carts around Walmart and collision. Their carts collided. And the first one says to the second one, sorry about that. I was looking for my wife. And I guess I wasn't paying attention where I was going. Well, the second guy old guy says, oh, that's okay. Wow, I'm looking for my wife too. Maybe we can work together. What does your wife look like? Oh, it's the first guy says, well, you probably won't believe this, but she's 32 years old, blonde hair, blue eyes, great figure. Well, what does your wife look like? And the other guy says, that doesn't matter. Let's look for your wife. Sorry. The idea is that we are better together. Community makes us better together. We're working together for a common goal. Horrible illustration. Look at this text in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It describes the importance of belonging to a people. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up the assembly or the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, too often we use this verse, this passage, just simply to use it, say, you know, you need to go to church regularly. That's valid for sure, but the meaning is much richer and deeper than that. We need each other. We need folks who know us and folks we know. Have you heard about having 2 a.m. friends? We need a safe place where folks can challenge us and encourage us to grow. We need to meet regularly with the same people to develop a strong and trusting relationship where we can be helped and to keep growing more like Jesus. Romans 15, verse 7 says, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. This acceptance thing, really, it's a big issue in the body of Christ. It's in the body. We need to accept each other. If you're in the body, I need to accept you. You need to accept me. Now, it's hard to accept people, though, when you see some differences that can be a bit irritating. It's that Jonah complex at times, perhaps. Remember Jonah? After accepting, finally accepting God's command and preaching to the Ninevites, and they repent. It's a hallelujah moment. Yay, praise God. But where was Jonah? Jonah thought that Nineveh was full of Cub fans, I think. Did I say that out loud? They were different than him. This acceptance thing is a big issue in the body of Christ at times. And we can't let it be that way. Galatians 6:10 says, give special attention to those who are in the family of believers. Here's the general principle. You know, whatever you pay attention to has a tendency to grow. And if you ignore it, it won't grow. If you pay attention to your garden and your plants and your flowers, they grow. If you pay attention to your marriage, it's going to flourish and grow. If you pay attention to your job, your work, it may grow, however, at the expense of something else in your life. But what you pay attention to, the principle is that it's going to grow. Gentlemen, as you get older and you start paying attention to your hair, the principle suddenly breaks down, I know. Sorry to bring that up. But in general, it's going to grow. Some of you have nothing to worry about. Others of you, I'm sorry. It's gone, isn't it? Sorry, men. Do we know how to build each other up in community? I saw the neatest thing this week. It's called, this is a method of developing a discipleship outlook through prayers and blessing. Let me share with you these verses. Ephesians 3, verses 18 and 19, it says, I pray that you'll be able to feel and understand how long, wide, and deep, and how high Christ's love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves. This is something you can pray over each other within the body. Hebrews 13, 21, I pray that you'll always be eager to do what is right. Insert a name. In Romans 15, it says, John, I pray God will give you hope and fill you with so much joy and peace while you trust in him. Ephesians 1:17, I pray over you that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, I pray the Lord will guide you to be as loving as God and as patient as Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, I pray that God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Have you heard that couples, as they get older, begin to look more and more like each other? Have you heard sometimes that pets begin to look like their masters? Yeah. I love these pictures. I know they're kind of small. And I don't know how Peyton Manning got on there. But boy, that dog sure looks like him. We are to grow in our relationship so we simply become more and more like our master. As a Christian, as a disciple, as an apprentice, Padawan, whatever, we are to grow to where we become more and more like our master. This third point is to grow out, to grow up, to go out and look like our master, look like the teacher. Well, what did the teacher do? Jesus came to make what? disciples. He's challenged us was to go and make what? Disciples. So that's it. As we go out, as we grow out, the idea is not to make church members. That's not what he said. He didn't come to make Christians either. Gasp. That's not what he said. I want you to make disciples. Jesus came to make people who would follow him and become like him. That's what a disciple is. That's what our mission is. Our own growth and helping others grow is key to that mission. Here's the deal. You can't help someone find Jesus and then just simply drop them. You're not done with the mission. It's not over yet. Your responsibility does not stop there. You are the best one to help them continue and grow and know Jesus better and better and follow him. Let's be sure on what discipleship is and what it isn't. It's not knowing lots of the Bible. That's good and needed, but that's not discipleship. It's not going to church, although that's a very worthy endeavor. That's helpful. Discipleship is not be a good person, though no one's going to complain about that. Discipleship is one thing and one thing only. Becoming and following Jesus. Becoming like Jesus and following him. Becoming like Jesus and following him. Discipleship. Luke 6:40. This is as clear as it gets. It says, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Student and disciple are the same thing. What's a disciple? One who becomes like his teacher and Lord. Notice that it doesn't happen automatically. You train. I think disciple's a great word. You know, the word Christian is only in the Bible 3 times. I like Christian. It means a follower of Christ. But this word disciple, it's used 269 times. It means a learner, a pupil, an apprentice. An apprentice is someone who is learning from someone who knows how to do the job. Paul's words in 1 Timothy 4:7-8 says, train yourself to be godly. Physical training's of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. That phrase, how you live is how you die. You want to go out well? You want an eternity that's out of this world? Take on the Son. Pledge to become more and more like him. Simple challenge today. Familiar verses today. Hopefully a good reminder today. The transformation needs to take place. This morning, we are going to have a time of invitation, a time of decision. 2 choices. Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to start growing? I welcome, if there's anyone here as we sing this morning, as we begin a time of invitation, if you've never begun that journey, if you need to start discipleship, you know, God has something to offer. God can do the miraculous, supernaturally take someone and transform them into the likeness of his Son. That's what God's looking for on Judgment Day. Do you look like his Son? So I want to invite you, if you've never made a decision, this is a moment where you can do that publicly. In fact, I hear the water's warm. If you've never been immersed into Christ and been clothed with Christ, this morning you have that opportunity to take on Christ and begin to more and more resemble him. On Judgment Day, I guarantee you, that's what God's looking for. He can pardon his own son who is sinless. And if you look like his son, he can pardon you as well. That's who we need to be like. Jesus himself.